up in motorcades. I got a show today. It's all I'm trying to do. Hustle and motivate. Choppers are throwaway. Hustle the overweight.
Hip hop has been around for 50 years. Not a single hospital. Not a single school. Not a single bank. Not a single supermarket. Not a single distribution company. How can we call hip hop a blessing to the black community when that type of money being made off of our culture in the community doesn't benefit from it at all? So you come to the community and give out a few turkeys. You come to the community and give out a few pair of sneakers. You come to the community and you throw a couple parties. And in exchange for some damn turkeys and chickens and some sneakers, you push death and destruction on our children for a living, and we're supposed to be okay with that because you dropped off some clothes and some turkeys. It's not acceptable. Until hip-hop begins to be a blessing for the black community, hip-hop is an agent of white supremacy. And then the rapper will say, well, we didn't invent violence. You're right. You didn't invent violence. There was gangbanging before hip-hop. Okay, there was drug dealing before hip hop. There was black on black crime before hip hop. But let me tell you where hip hop is guilty. Hip hop glamorized it. Hip hop glorified it. Hip hop put a spotlight on negative aspects of black culture.
Well, 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 welcome back to another episode of the 16s and Things, the podcast. And I must say, whoo. It's been a very, very interesting week in sports and in entertainment. So many bomb, shocking information has been laid on us through social media and the news and everything. But on that intro, what you heard was Dr. Umar Johnson giving his opinions about how he feel about what has hip-hop done for the black community. And I must say, I actually agree with some of the things Dr. Umar Johnson has said, as far as the overall grand scale of things. But I like to say that hip hop definitely has provided plenty of jobs for black people and has changed their lives. It's just the wrong messages from some rappers have been overly glorified and promoted heavily to a stance where it has affected a lot of people in our community as far as the violence. And it's just getting out of hand. And, you know, the violence has, you know, definitely overcome and took over the mentality of some of our how our young black kids think. And now you got the, you know, the glorification of being a whore, you know, but that's a whole nother conversation and different topic. But right now, I want to actually focus on talking about how Dr. Umar, he has the hip hop community on fire. You know, of course, a lot of people don't agree with some of the things that he has said, but I agree with it. I want to actually share a story with y'all back when I was managing artists. To those who may know or not know, I used to be A&R for a record label in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, and I was the artist manager. So I remember back when around that time, this was probably around 2008, around this time, maybe like in between 2006-2010, here in Philly, they were having a few Stop the Violence concerts. So I said, oh, this is perfect for the artist that I'm managing, because the artist is a rapper and the artist's content was always about uplifting the black community and stuff like that. So it was, you know, it was really it would have been a really dope connection, I felt like. So I reached out to the people who was in charge of setting up the event, you know, just to see what I need to do to get my artists to perform, you know, at this show at the time. So I was told that my artist can't be a part of the concert because my artist didn't have a big enough buzz. So I was like, all right, I took that on the chin. I said, well, I'll look for something else, another concert that, you know, my artist can perform. So a few weeks go by and I started to see the promo flyers. Started to see these promo flyers for the concert. And I noticed all the rappers that they had on the lineup were all street rappers talking about shooting up niggas, selling drugs. And I had the question, like, how the fuck does having those kind of rappers benefit? Like, what? How does that benefit you? The concert is for stopping the violence in the hood, but you got a bunch of street fucking niggas rapping about the destruction of the hood, but the concert, the theme of the concert is stopping violence. I mean, I seriously was scratching my head about this shit because it made no fucking sense. So then I started to realize at that moment, the people didn't care. You know, a lot of the gatekeepers who was throwing them kind of concerts back then, they didn't care about really stopping the violence in the black communities. They just cared about stuffing the seats in their pockets. It was just like a hustle. That's the way I look at it. But far as back to getting back to Dr. Umar, yes, he has a lot of violent points about what he said, and you know, he's making a lot of people in the hip hop community, you know, angry because, you know, I have this saying, you know, that I like to say when people feel like they being shitted on, literally. The saying is, some people just don't like to smell their own shit stains. And what I mean by that is, if the shit fits you, you don't like the truth. Basically, you don't like the truth. You don't like hearing the truth about yourself. Some people, you know, they go through life in a mirage, like not living up to their fucking truths. Not, you know, what they say, not accepting accountability for the bullshit that they do in their lives. So that's why Dr. Umar has a lot of these people upset about his comments. But what I do want to share is I came across this week, actually, which is something good. You know, and this is, you know, on the same lines of what Dr. Umar was talking about, you know, people in hip hop not giving back. So I thought this was a dope story. So let me share this.
Did the ribbon cutting of his first affordable apartment development. It includes 143 apartments and 25 special units for homeless kids. The Entrada West Side sits across from Center Hill Park in Northwest Atlanta. T.I., whose real name is Clifford Harris, told us he remembers how the community struggled when he was young.
The arts and entertainment industry in this city has been able to collaborate and be, I guess, profitable enough to offer the community so many things that, you know, are much needed.
Developers say the property was once a shopping center where T.I.'s grandmother used to shop for.
Yeah, so I had to share that. So I want to shout out T.I. I'm going to shout out T.I. He opened up affordable housing for, you know, that includes 25 units for homeless children. This is a really dope story. So this is the follow up on what Dr. Umar was saying. Like, he feel as though people in the hip hop, you know, they're not giving back. But I think sometimes Dr. Umar's message is so extreme that people, they tend to not look further into what he's really saying. But I thought this was a good story. T.I., he came a long way. I mean, he like been 20 years plus in the game. And I've been hearing that he's been heavy into real estate ever since his career started. So shout out T.I., yo. This is really dope. Providing affordable housing for homeless people and homeless kids and stuff like that. That's a really dope story. And I think a lot of rappers do give back, but the grand scale of things, it's just not what Umar wants, which I think Umar is really talking about, like, creating banks and creating financial institutions and stuff like that, because so many people are getting money off of hip hop, and it's not just dominated by but it's just not just black people benefiting off hip hop culture. So that's where Umar is going at with it. All right, so yeah, let me go into my next topic, which is a sports topic. CJ Stroud, Houston Texans, young boy, like 19 years old, doing his thing. I think right now, I'm not a fucking fan of the Houston Texans, but I think right now, he is the most exciting NFL player to watch right now. I mean, the past 3 weeks, this dude, you know what, fuck all that. Like, dude been balling the whole season. He put up, I think, about three or four 400-yard games, which is crazy. It's crazy to do as a rookie. I mean, this dude barely has any fucking talent down there that he's working with. He has probably about two solid receivers. Don't even have no throw running back. The offensive line is a piece of shit. But the defense is pretty good. I want to shout out their new coach, DeMarco Ryans, which he's an ex-Houston Texan legend, linebacker. One of the greats for them. He got them balling. So I want to shout out, we got a black head coach, and we got a black starting rookie quarterback. It's fucking unheard of, y'all. Unheard of, especially in the state of Texas. So I want to shout out the Houston Texans. And I don't see them making no noise like that, but they balling right now. They got a bright future ahead of them. So let me get into Deshaun Watson. This nigga season is over due to a shoulder injury. And right now it just looks like that's a wrap. It's a wrap for the Browns. Their season is over. His season is over. And the Browns season is the fuck over. It's a wrap. And the Browns defense is balling, though. And anyway, before Deshaun Watson got hurt, he wasn't looking that great. He just doesn't look like the same player that he was in Houston. I got to shout out my homie Kel, because he said something funny about this when we actually was talking about Deshaun Watson getting injured. He said, God don't like ugly. He had too many of them hand massages, too many happy endings and shit. You know what I mean? I thought that was funny. But, yeah, looks like the Brown season is over. And so let me get into talking about some NBA news, which this shit is crazy. I got to ask the question. I mean, those who listen, you can answer my question. Hit me up on Instagram. Hit me up on Twitter. I'll leave my handles after the show is over, and I'll actually leave it in the episode description. So I just want to ask, is Draymond Green a dirty player or just a passionate player? The NBA just suspended him 5 games. For putting a nigga in a headlock. And that nigga I'm talking about is Rudy Gobert, yo. Rudy Gobert is about 7'2". And Dirty Draymond is about 6'6". And when I watch that video, I don't see too many of Rudy's teammates trying to help him. I'm just looking like, yo, this is clearly a reminder of how soft the fucking new NBA niggas are. So, man, fuck it. Shout out Draymond, yo, for, you know, being the goon in such a fucking soft era, yo. Like, these niggas smile and shake hands with each other too much, yo. Like, yo, that's the fucking, yo, you shouldn't you shouldn't be fucking smiling and joking with the opposite team. Like, yo, y'all niggas need to show some aggression out there. I know the NBA, they don't want the NBA to become the old NBA, and they created all these different rules. But, man, it's still some things that you could do to show that you just not a soft-ass nigga, yo. Like, stop dick-eating the other stars, other teams, yo. Like, yo, fuck that, yo. Like, cuss that. Tell that nigga his mom ain't shit. Or tell him you fuck this girl or something like that. Like, make the shit more interesting. We need to bring back more of the NBA rivals, yo. Like, that's what made the NBA back in the day. I was just thinking about some shit too, though. I can't imagine Pat Ewing being in a headlock by Barkley. That game would have got canceled. They would have shut the shit off the network. Man, it would have been ugly. You know, the 80s and the 90s basketball was totally different, man. But, yo, I really want to know y'all answer about that. Like, my question, is Draymond Green a dirty player or just a passionate player? I mean, what, last season, the beginning of the season, he was sucker punching niggas at practice. You know what I mean? Bloody the nigga face. You know what I mean? He definitely is the Warriors goons. The Warriors goon, but the Warriors ain't even playing that good this year. I don't know. I mean, it's early. You know, we'll see. We'll see. But let me get back into some hip hop shit. This is something I'm very disappointed in. Andre 3000, he released a fucking flute album. Yes, you heard me correctly. A fucking flute album with no bars or drums. This nigga talking about he used digital and wind flutes. I don't even know what the fuck that is. And I'm not with the people who are saying, see, Andre 3000 is way ahead of his time, and the fans are just not caught up with his creativity. Yo, listen, fuck that. He's not getting that super, super duper creativity pass. That nigga hasn't released an album in 17 years, and he can't give his fans at least two songs with some words. Yeah, I'm not going to, I ain't going to go too far with this. I'm done with that little rant because I'm actually an Andre 3000 fan, and I get it. You know, you had people out there talking about, yo, he's an artist. You know, he's happy. Let him do what he want to do. But I truly feel some shit like this, a fucking flute album. This is something that he could have held on to his personal collection. And, you know, maybe like, you know, down the line, you know, pass it off to his kids or some shit like that. But I don't think this is something that the fans needed. You know, like he claimed that, you know, he musically, he's, you know, he's not there or whatever. So if you're not there musically, yo, don't release nothing. Just don't, man. Like that shit is corny. It really is. So, yeah, thanks for listening. Continue to listen to the show. You can listen to the past episodes. Trying my best to release an episode every week. And you can follow me on Instagram at Ms100. That's not 00, it's 100. And you can follow me on Twitter at Mr100. That's spelled out. And you also can follow the podcast Instagram at 16s and Things Pod. Thanks for listening. Peace.